Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask Margot Today. This is where we endeavour to answer the sticky questions of life. And actually, we're going to go straight to our first question today. I practice something called quantum entrainment, and Quad asked me just exactly what is that. Well, in physics, a smaller, weaker rhythm will naturally synchronize with a stronger, more coherent one. This is called entrainment. I think it's a great word. It's not imposed, it just happens automatically when the systems are connected. So in quantum entrainment, we can apply this principle to consciousness. What if you don't need to figure out how to heal or fix or change yourself? Instead, you entrain or allow yourself to fall into sync with the most powerful frequency in existence, the coherent, intelligent energy of the universe, what some call source or life or pure awareness. So it's not about doing, it's about allowing. When you enter a state of stillness, presence, or deep neutrality, what we sometimes call the superconscious, you begin to resonate with the original unbroken field of wellness that exists beyond the mind. This is our natural state, and our bodies know it. Quantum entrainment is about allowing the energy of the universe itself to entrain our systems back to health, clarity, and harmony. If this is all new to you, you may want to sit with it and consider the concept a little bit. So how does it work? I read somewhere that quantum entrainment was developed by Dr. Frank Kinslow. Well, I disagree with this. He didn't develop it. It's a law of life. He gave it a name, he investigated the principle, and maybe articulated it. But he didn't develop it because it was in play long before he was even a twinkle in his father's eye. Anyway, back to the point. Quantum entrainment is based on the idea that when you access a deep state of awareness beyond thought and emotion, your mind and body naturally entrain or sync up with a state of pure coherence. That's why everybody is into meditation, because that brings you into this state. This coherence then ripples out, subtly affecting physical, emotional, and even external circumstances and bringing them into balance. In physics terms, entrainment is when two systems naturally synchronize their rhythms, like pendulum clocks aligning their swings when they're placed on the same wall, or like fireflies that flash in unison. Research by the Heart Math Institute shows that when you focus on a feeling of appreciation or calm, your heart rhythm becomes coherent, which then influences your brain waves to match that pattern. I find all of this incredibly fascinating. In quantum entrainment, entering a pure state of awareness shifts your physiology without trying. Breathing slows, stress hormones drop, and your system finds equilibrium. This can lead to pain reduction, better focus, and even improved immunity, which is what everybody is seeking. Tuning forks. Two of them on the same frequency will start vibrating together when one is struck and placed near the other. This is resonance, the physical basis for entrainment. In quantum entrainment, your nervous system is like the second tuning fork. It begins to vibrate in harmony with the stillness and coherence you've accessed, even without deliberate action. Your thoughts and emotions fall into step with that quiet order. Your brain naturally entrains to it, shifting from beta, which is our busy mind, into alpha, theta, and delta patterns that support healing, creativity, and emotional balance, which is also something we're after. Psychoneuroimmunology, that's quite a long word. That research shows that mental states directly influence immune function, cell repair, and inflammation levels. So when quantum entrainment induces deep coherence, the body switches off its fight or flight response and reprioritizes repair and regeneration. This can explain the physical shifts people report: pain easing, sleep improving, symptoms softening without targeted intervention. QE practitioners sometimes notice benefits in others they are doing quantum entrainment for, even at a distance. The mechanism for that isn't really fully understood scientifically, but it parallels how coherence in one system can influence another via resonance. So to sum up, the scientific parallels show that biological systems naturally synchronize with coherence, and that mental and emotional states influence physical outcomes. Resonance can happen instantly, even across distance. If I could have one wish come true right in this moment for the whole of humanity, it would be to understand the power of this concept. The whole of humanity is sadly not listening to me today, but you are. So hook your caboose to this concept and allow for the possibility that you could entrain to the source of life itself and therefore lift your whole game, your health, everything, accordingly. It's a very exciting thought. You are the genie in your life. Quad, that is quantum entrainment. I hope that wasn't too sort of physics-y or conceptual for you, but I do think it's a thought worth pondering. Our next question today, and our questioners have been awarded the names beginning with the letter Q, so I'm working through the alphabet. Let's see how you go with that, because it was quite challenging. This one is from Quinn. He says, please explain further about what people call universal law. What does it really mean and what does it really do? Here's an example, Quinn. What goes up must come down. If you get this principle, really get it, it can change your whole life. Everything that happens is a thought or an idea before it shows up in the tangible. That's why your reality must be centered in what you believe and know rather than the evidence of what you see at that time. All the reality has been cooked up behind the scenes in what I call the unseen, in this moment. It's all there for you. You just have to see it and persist in living in the unseen reality until it takes shape. And because the results of our good efforts are not always instant, we do need to enjoy the process as much as possible. And that's not always easy. I confess, for me, I found it, and still sometimes find it difficult, but I see it as the high road in life. And I don't think there is a higher one to choose. I often talk about life laws rather than universal laws, just because no one can argue with that. We foolishly often allow ourselves to get tripped up by words and concepts that annoy us. Some people have a snitch with God, and so they don't want to entertain any kind of God conversation, even if the conversation might have enormous value, or because they can't get themselves past the God word. Why does he let this bad stuff happen? That kind of thing. Well, that's just silly. Call it the force if you want to. Call it life with a capital L. Call it the essence. Who cares? Just don't let the label stop you from hearing the message. What goes up or out from you must come down back or back to you. There's the law. Call it the law of reciprocity or the law of sowing and reaping. Cause and effect. Entrainment is a law. The energy of a lesser object will entrain to the energy of the greater object. Let's look at this in a bit more depth. In physics, Newton's third law is for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In mechanics, a force applied to an object produces an equal force back in the opposite direction. So your actions or seeds create an inevitable counteraction or consequence, harvest if you like, in the system you act upon. Not necessarily instantly, but certain in outcome. In biology and agriculture, the law of a seed, you harvest what you plant. A seed's genetic material determines the plant it becomes. If you plant a sunflower seed, you will get sunflowers, not roses. In human terms, behaviours, habits and attitudes each carry what you might call a genetic code of consequence. Generosity yields goodwill. Consistent training yields skill. Neglect yields decline. And that's today's relationship advice, everybody. Neglect will equal decline. I think we all know that. Think about how positive feedback amplifies the original effect. For example, trust begets trust, which creates more trust. And in a negative sense, diminishing, overspending leads to debt. There's a cause and effect. In psychology, there's a law called Hebb's Law, that neurons that fire together wire together. So repeated thoughts and behaviours strengthen neural pathways. This is a fact, making them easier to repeat. That's why we have affirmations that we repeat or positive thoughts that we fix on all the time to try and establish those in ourselves. This means the more you sow a pattern of thought or behaviour, the more likely it will grow and appear in your future experience. The more I look at this, and if you think about what I've been talking about, the more you see these laws are everywhere and intertwined all through life. In behavioural psychology, consistent reinforcement, whether it's positive or negative, creates a predictable change in behaviour over time. That's how we teach our children. Positive stuff, hopefully. In quantum physics, there's the observer effect. The act of observation influences the outcome of a particle's behaviour. That's really hard to get your head around. But it's also something that we've discovered. Your consistent sowing or intentional attention to something changes the field of possibilities and the outcomes. Physics shows inevitability of reaction. Biology shows fidelity of the seed to harvest concept. Systems theory shows consequences cycling back. Psychology shows mental seeds change future experiences. I hope this, Quinn, that this demonstrates just how far-reaching and comprehensive these laws are and how they actually do govern our lives. The more we understand about this kind of thing, the more we can use this understanding to make our lives better. Our next question is from Quentin. He says, I have such bad luck and I don't know why. I see others around me just falling on their feet all the time and it makes me angry. Why can't I have that kind of luck? Luck's such an interesting word. The first thing I want to say, Quentin, is this quote. Repeated luck is never luck. I was watching a movie a while ago and I made a note of that line, that quote, because luck is something I just don't believe in. Actually, I think the concept of luck is the same thing as a random event, as though it pops out of nothingness, like a game of chance. I don't think the world operates like that. That concept is completely contrary to the principles of cause and effect and of sowing and reaping. What goes up must come down, the law of attraction, or what I call the boomerang effect. If we are indeed energetic beings who resonate and attract according to what we project, then there's no such thing as luck. We are doing all of it. Saying this to people, me included, at first makes them really cross because they don't want to look at the rubbish in their lives and feel that they're responsible for any of it. They don't want to think they were anything other than a victim of bad luck or someone else's bad influence. But once that anger dissipates, though, and the steam stops rising off the top of their heads, they can then see that if they pulled those things they didn't want into their lives, they must therefore have the power to pull in what they do want. And that, to me, is the biggest aha moment of all time for any human being. That's where the switch is flipped and the light goes on. That's where change begins and that's where we pick up our power. I think personally that people hook onto the luck concept because they don't understand how life really works. So opting for the good or bad luck option frees them from taking any responsibility for what they create in their lives. Well, that won't do. That is not good enough for us because we are powerful beings who have a right to colour in our lives in the colours we choose. I guarantee that if you stop looking for luck, good or bad, and start to be strategic about your life, understanding that what you think, speak, project, and expect is just what's going to come back to you. Boom, like a boomerang. It will, because you are the genie. One proviso, though, and I always like to make this qualification because people say to me, and I've said it a million times to myself, but when will it happen? That actually, apparently, isn't our business. Our business is to do our bit, to stay tuned in and tuned up, to be on our toes, antennae up, to receive any leads for what our next steps ought to be. The master plan appears to be in the hands of the boss, though often we think we might do a better job and have everything we want at the very moment we want it and fix all the things that look wrong. Apparently, we don't have what's required to manage the entire world and all its inhabitants, so we're not given that job. Our job is our life, and the big picture outcome is God's. I find it reassuring to know what my part is and what I don't have to worry about. If you put the good stuff in, the good stuff will come out. That's a life or universal law. It doesn't change and it can't be messed with. Try giving up the concept of luck for a bit and manage your life with intention, taking full responsibility. You'll find it's really empowering. From a metaphysical perspective, bad luck isn't a fixed condition. It's a story someone is living out, often without realizing they're the author of it. Quentin, you think you have bad luck, but try these strategies to rethink that. One, see luck as a reflection, not a random force. The principle is that outer circumstances reflect inner assumptions. If you believe you have bad luck, life dutifully arranges itself to conform to that assumption, not because the world is against you, but because your focus and expectations and interpretations filter reality that way. You can make a shift and say, I'm not unlucky, I've been running the bad luck script. And if I've been running one script, I can choose a different one. Number two, change the seed you're planting. This connects to the sowing reaping principle we discussed. Every thought, word, and expectation is a seed. Nothing ever works out for me is a weed seed. It will grow proof of itself. Things always work out for me is a different seed, one worth cultivating daily. The shift for that would be to say, I'm going to start planting good fortune seeds with my words, thoughts, and self-talk, and trust that my harvest will match. Luck isn't something you're born with or without. It's the echo of what you've been believing, expecting, and emotionally rehearsing. Change the inner pattern and the outer luck will change to match. You can begin to make that change by releasing the old script. That was the old story, it's over now. Say this with a sense of closing a book. You no longer want to read that book. Claim the new identity. I'm the kind of person things work out for. Normalize good fortune. Good things are normal for me. Doors open for me without effort. People are glad to help me. The right timing is always on my side. Feel it in advance. Close your eyes and recall the feeling of something working out perfectly for you. There will be something. Feel the relief, the joy, the delight, and hold that feeling for 10 or 20 seconds. Just immerse yourself in it. and then seal it with gratitude. I'm thankful that life is arranged in my favour. This framework works because it ends the old bad luck narrative rather than fighting it. It installs a new self-concept that attracts a matching experience, and it practices the emotional state that metaphysically precedes good luck. Every time you walk through a doorway, home, work, shop, cafe, silently say to yourself, good things happen here. Feel a micro spark of curiosity as if the next lucky counter, surprise, or opportunity is just beyond the threshold. This works because your brain starts to pair new spaces with positive expectation, priming you to notice opportunities that you would otherwise miss. The last thing you can do is rewrite at the end of the day. At night before you sleep, you can replay in your mind where things didn't go your way, rewrite them to imagine that they worked out beautifully. Feel the relief and the satisfaction of the version that you choose. This works because the subconscious doesn't distinguish between a vividly imagined event and a real one, and it imprints the lucky outcome pattern for tomorrow. So I hope that helps regarding the myth about luck, Quentin. Luck is yours to make. I'm speaking to myself in all of this as much as I am to you. Our last question today is about annoying people. It's from Queenie, and she said, people are just so annoying. And if they're not annoying, they're often stupid. And I feel surrounded by it and closed in by it, and that annoys me. Help. I hear you, Queenie. I think we all have times when we feel like that, when the world rubs you the wrong way. But here's the thing. Annoyance is a two-person job. They bring the behaviour and we bring the reaction. The only part you have any real power over is your half of that equation. So instead of saying, why are they like that? Try to say, how do I want to be, no matter how they are? When you set your own internal temperature, other people's nonsense doesn't get to touch it. And sometimes just seeing it as background noise instead of a personal affront is enough to make it kind of weirdly funny. Annoyance is an optional response. And if you can't quite opt out of it yet, at least treat it like a passing weather system. No need to set up camp under the thundercloud. Okay, let's turn this into a mindset shift and a practical, instantly usable trick for when you feel surrounded by human irritants. When you say, people are so annoying, I feel closed in by it, you're essentially saying, I have outsourced my emotional state to the general public. And why would we do that? It's a recipe for permanent frustration, because you can't control the public, but you can control the state you meet them in. So here's the reframe. Your peace is not a public space, it's private property. Other people don't get to dump their rubbish in it unless you open the gates. When you start seeing your inner world as something you own and manage, annoying people lose their power to dictate how you feel. Here's another trick you can try. It's a simple in-the-moment way to dissolve irritation before it escalates. When someone's being annoying or stupid, mentally narrate their behaviour as if you are in a nature documentary, as a host or a satirical commentator. Ah, here we see the lesser-spotted queue jumper in its natural habitat, blissfully unaware that anyone else exists. Or, fascinating, this specimen has decided that turn signals are merely decorative. See why that works? It shifts you from being a participant to being observer. And humour changes your emotional state, breaking the loop of irritation. It's a great trick to use humour, always, pretty much. It stops you from taking other people's behaviour personally. The more you focus on annoying and stupid people, the more the world will serve you evidence of them, because you've tuned your awareness to that channel. If you want a different broadcast, you have to become the version of yourself who expects and notices something else. Civility, kindness, consideration, intelligence. I notice this with driving. People can think that other drivers are deliberately challenging them, but I just think they aren't paying attention. It's a better way to think in terms of your stress level. Try this. Each morning for a week, set this as your internal script. Today, people are helpful, interesting, and unexpectedly pleasant. Keep an eye out for any proof of this during the day, even small moments, and they will be there if you look for them. The proof becomes the seed of a new pattern. Isn't it interesting how all our questions today are feeding into each other philosophically? Lastly, turn it into a skill. Rather than seeing annoying people as a problem, treat them as a free training ground for mastering your state. If you can stay grounded in traffic, in queues, or in meetings, you're not just surviving, you're developing an unshakable mind. And that's a superpower in both personal and your business life. Here's a 2-minute annoyance reset you can try. It blends humour, metaphysics, and a physical, emotional reset, so you can use it anytime you feel hemmed in. From "they're driving me mad" to "this is mildly amusing," this can reset your state. So claim your space. This takes just a few seconds. Say, "my peace is private property, no entry without permission." This draws a mental boundary that stops their behaviour from spilling into your inner world. Then switch to observer mode. Mentally narrate the situation as if you're doing a voiceover for a wildlife documentary, or a cooking show, or a satirical newscast. Here we see the human in its natural habitat performing the ancient ritual of ignoring the cue entirely. This breaks the "I'm under attack" feeling and reframes it as theatre that you're simply watching. Breathing, of course, we all know this works. Take a slow breath in and let the out breath go while you silently say, "today, people are helpful, interesting, and unexpectedly pleasant." I would probably say breathe out what you don't want and breathe in what you do want. Scan the room or the street or the situation for any sign of that, even if it's small, some positive thing, and hook onto it. Then do something physical to lock in that reset. Smile to yourself. Adjust your posture, put your shoulders back, or click your finger to picture a reset. Press a button. Your body is the cue to your mind. Your body will then understand, and your mind will be listening, "we're finished with that irritation now. You're making the change of state." This works because your boundaries set up. You own your emotional space. Humour breaks the change instantly. Just remember that you are the genie in your own life. I hope that's helpful. That's our questions for today. Thank you for your fine company. Don't forget to send more questions to me under the contact tab at margounlimited.com, Margo with a T. We'd love to hear from you. We always finish our show with the word, a message from the universe. So here it is for this week. I received this message when I was inquiring about using the term quantum entrainment in my work. Even as you say that word, entrainment, you can feel the power of it. It's okay, use it. When you feel the power of something, you should follow it. It's the thing that's leading you where you want to go. Thank you, universe, and goodbye, everybody. See you next time.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.